unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Cut the damn music. I am having a very bad day. I'm not really in the mood for much today. I'm going to be the first to admit it. I'm not really in the mood for much. Now, for those of you who don't know, I know you know you're listening to the Stephen A. Smith Show right here over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. It's 888-623-3646. Plus, you can send me your voicemail messages at SiriusXM.com/GetSirious. For those of you who don't know, I am a native New Yorker. That's who I am. Outside of the Pittsburgh Steelers, because the first play that I ever saw in football was the immaculate reception by Franco Harris when I was 5 years old. Outside of that, I'm all about New York. All the time, okay? I know there's great parts throughout this country. I know there's great people everywhere. I know there's great fan bases in other cities and all of that other stuff. But I am about New York. I am about New York. And never, ever can I recall a weekend being this disappointing, this demoralizing, this disgusting. And for those of you out there that are laughing at me already, damn it, I don't blame you. If it was your city, I'd be laughing at you too. Because that's the kind of troll I can be. So I get it, and I understand it, and I understand this insatiable appetite to get at me, and I got it. But damn it, I would ask you on this particular day to have some sympathy for me. Have some sympathy. My objectivity is out the window. Because when you got the kind of weekend that I've had, watching my sports team, one after another, drop like a cheap bag of bricks, then it's not a good feeling. So let's count the ways. The New York Jets are an absolute travesty. They can't run, they can't block, they can't throw, they can't catch, they can't tackle. It's just very bad. And I'm a black man. And a very proud black man, and I bring that up because I'm not rooting against Aaron Glenn. But for those that are watching him right now and how ill-prepared the Jets appear to be, if they were of the mindset that there needs to be a new coach in East Rutherford, New Jersey, I can't come to his defense. I won't call for it. I don't wish for it, but I can't defend him either. Consider me the defense attorney with an aspiring client that's guilty as hell and there's absolutely positively no defense for him. Why would I want to make that case? Why would I want to embrace that case? That's how I feel about Aaron Glenn as head coach for the New York Jets right now and how inept they appear to be. Then we transition to the New York Giants. We were supposed to be seeing something different. I mean, this cat Jackson Dart's got some swag, and he can throw the football, blah, blah, blah. And you see Brian Daboll hugging and kissing him like he's an adopted son. That is until he commits one fumble after another. That is until the Giants are trailing 19-14 and scatterboo this dude out of Arizona State, fumbles the football, and ultimately New Orleans picks it up and runs it back to the house and goes up 26-14. It's after the New York Giants just considered to make one comedy of errors after another. And that's it. Oh, but don't stop there, ladies and gentlemen. You would think that's bad enough in East Rutherford, New Jersey. I said, hell, at least I got the state of New York to lean on. Western New York, Buffalo. And what do? They let Drake May and Stephon Diggs and Mike Vrabel roll up in the Bills Mafia and take them out on Sunday Night Football. So you got that going on. And then last but not least, I got my Yankees. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm kind of speechless when it comes to the New York Yankees. Do y'all know that for the first 14 innings of this series against the Toronto Blue Jays, the New York Yankees were outscored 22-1? This is in baseball. This is not a football game. This is baseball. This is not a basketball game. This is baseball. It usually takes you a few games to score 22 runs. It took the Toronto Blue Jays 14 innings. Freed and Heal, supposedly aces for the New York Yankees, especially Mr. Max Freed and his $218 million contract. This dude shows up and gets smacked around. He got pimp slapped in Canada. Just straight pimp slapped. That's right, I said it. Just getting blitzed. Do y'all know that the Toronto Blue Jays had more home runs than strikeouts? Let that sink in. The Toronto Blue Jays had more home runs in the first two games of this series that they are now up 2-0 against the New York Yankees in the ALDS. They have more home runs, 8 home runs and 7 strikeouts. 8 home runs and 7 strikeouts. The Yankees' ERA in the first round series, in a wild card series against the Boston Red Sox, was 1.33. Against the Toronto Blue Jays, it is over 14. So once again, it's Brian Cashman, it's Aaron Boone reminding us how valuable pitching is. And how do we know this? Because the Yankees don't have it when it counts. Now, that young kid, that pitched against Boston. I mean, he was spectacular. Shut down Boston. And we said, hey, wait a minute now, he got some pitching. This is going to be special. And then lo and behold, things change around and they go to Canada. And it's almost like they were held at the border and wasn't allowed entry. You know, it was delayed and they were just tired or fatigued or whatever. I'm going to tell you what I get from it. The Yankees were so bad. I say this jokingly that, you know what? You know, maybe ICE and Trump should have let them back in. I mean, that's how bad they were. Certainly shouldn't let them in city limits. But maybe I shouldn't joke about that. That's kind of inappropriate, so I apologize. But that's how disgusted I am with the New York Yankees right now. It's just that damn bad. Can't pitch, can't get hitting when they need it. I don't give a damn about your 7 runs after you were down 12-0 in the 5th inning. I could care less. You were getting pimp slapped. And that's what happened. And so as a result, I sit here before you on this Monday afternoon with absolutely positively nothing to cheer about as a New Yorker. Absolutely nothing. I mean, the regular season for the NBA hasn't started yet, so we can't lean on the Knicks. The Mets are home. They didn't even make the postseason with their $320 to $340 million payroll. Despite Juan Soto smacking 42 home runs, despite Nimmo and Lindor and Alonso doing their thing, their pitching didn't show up. Everywhere I turn, nothing but bad news if you're a New Yorker. So I decide to slide down. You know what? Okay, maybe let me just leave town and let me just hop on I-95. Maybe I should go to Philadelphia. That ain't going to work. Philadelphia Eagles decide to forget that they got Saquon Barkley as a running back, run the football just 2 times in the entire second half, end up giving up a double-digit 14-point lead to the Denver Broncos, who came back, scored 18 unanswered points, okay, and beat the Philadelphia Eagles. By the way, Sean Payton goes for it for a 4th-and-2, for a 2-point conversion. The first time in Sean Payton's career, coaching nearly 300 games, 298 to be exact, that the man ever went for a go-ahead 2-point conversion and did it. And did it in the 4th quarter. You got Jalen Hurts out there. I don't know whether he overthrew A.J. Brown or if A.J. Brown ran a wrong route and just stopped hustling. Now you don't hear just about A.J. Brown, but you also hear about Devontae Smith complaining because they got a new offensive coordinator that ain't calling the right plays, ain't running the right offense, and ain't getting them involved nearly as enough. So what does Nick Sirianni do? Listening to the noise. He capitulates to it, and he decides, I'm going to throw about 38 times. I'm going to run the football significantly less than that, virtually not at all in the second half. And the Philadelphia Eagles lose the damn game. This is what we're living with. And so they're no longer amongst the undefeated. Just like Buffalo was no longer amongst the undefeated after New England took them out. So then if you decide to go further down I-95, you're going to stop in Baltimore. And you might as well keep on going. Because looking at the Baltimore Ravens, it's bad. It's really, really, really bad. I mean, their defense is horrid. The Houston Texans did what they wanted, when they wanted, how they wanted, whenever they damn well pleased. C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, and the crew doing whatever the hell they wanted to do. And so much for Cooper Rush as the backup. I mean, with Lamar Jackson now, talk about not doing a damn thing, not getting anything done. That's what happened when we're looking at the Baltimore Ravens right now. And you heard those boos. And I'm telling you right now, if this continues, you're going to hear folks calling for John Harbaugh's job. It's not going to be me because I think the man has done too much good over the years. Now, I understand that since he arrived around 2008, even though they won a Super Bowl, they've given up 17 double-digit fourth-quarter leads under John Harbaugh's watch in his career, which is very bad. I understand that Lamar Jackson has been there since 2018 and they've yet to make it to a Super Bowl with one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. I understand they failed last year when Mark Andrews dropped the two-point conversion with Derrick Henry having a monster of a year. The only reason we didn't mention him more was because Saquon Barkley was rushing for over 2,000 yards. But we forget that Derrick Henry had 1,921 yards. That guy seems to be a shell of himself. He ain't on his game right now. Even though I believe he'll get it together. And believe it or not, I still haven't ruled out giving the Ravens a chance to win the AFC North. But I don't blame y'all if y'all have. I can't front. I don't blame y'all if y'all have. Because right now, when you look at the Baltimore Ravens, I don't know what the hell is going on with them. They had like 8 starters out. I get that. Hamilton's out. Madubuke is out. Van Noy just got back. I got it. I understand. But you're not supposed to look as bad as this team has looked. There is no excuse. There is no way on earth that they should look as bad as John Harbaugh has them looking right now. You got to remain competitive. And this is where we bring up a guy like Mike Tomlin. Because, see, Mike Tomlin has never had a Lamar Jackson as his quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger stayed 2 years longer than he should have. And ever since then, you had a Mason Rudolph, you had a Mitchell Trubisky, you had a Justin Fields, you had a Russell Wilson, you had cats like that. Mike Tomlin has not had a quarterback the magnitude of Lamar Jackson. What if he did? What if he did? Because, see, if you're John Harbaugh, where do you go from here? Right now, you know, there's no Ray Lewis is not walking through that door. Ed Reed is not walking through that door. Tete Sizzle, Terrell Suggs, he is not walking through that door. But you, John Harbaugh, they supposed to be better than this. They're supposed to be better than this. There's no way around it. There's no excuse for it. And by the way, one of the other things that's on my mind before I go to break, let me say this, getting to college football. At some point in time today, we got to talk about James Franklin. I was getting ready to say Kirk Franklin, but that's because I think divine intervention is needed and maybe James Franklin needs some gospel music supporting him. I don't know what else to say. Ladies and gentlemen, they lost to UCLA, 0-4 UCLA. Half the damn stadium was empty. Nobody's thinking about UCLA. Their program is in shambles. Penn State walked into this season ranked top 2 in the nation. They lost a thriller in overtime to Oregon. Now, prior to that, they beat in what, Nevada, like Florida International, somebody in Villanova, if I remember correctly. But you lose to Oregon, you got to win those games, but it's no shame if it was anybody else. It's a shame for if you're Penn State because James Franklin's reputation is that he cannot win the big game. He gets to the Final Four last year, the college football playoffs. He loses to Notre Dame, even though it was a thriller. You lost to Ohio State last year. You lost to Oregon last year. And that loss, you know, in the semifinals of the playoffs to Notre Dame was your third loss. But you were in the playoffs. This year, they started out top two in the nation. They are now out of the top 25. They are 1-10 against Ohio State. They are 3-7 against Michigan. They are 1-18 against Big Ten, top 10 competition in James Franklin's career at Penn State. This is very bad when you have a reputation at a big-time program as somebody who can't win the big-time games. This is very bad. There's no way around this. And again, here we are, talking about a black coach. I'm not rooting against the man. I want the man to succeed. But it's bad. It's bad. So all of those things are things that we have to talk about along with the rest of the NFL slate and whatever's going on. I mean, Daniel Jones balling in Indy. Cam Ward in Tennessee getting his first win. Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers squeezing out a thriller over Seattle yet again. Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. I shouldn't say Kyler Murray. It ain't his fault that Arizona's blowing three games in a row, losing on the last play of the game, the field goal winning kick. I mean, you talk about these guys. DeMarcado and not running into the end zone before letting the ball go, an idiotic mistake. I mean, there's so much stuff that went on in the NFL this weekend. But those are the things that are on my mind at this particular moment in time because I'm frustrated. I don't usually like bringing my frustration. I like to be a ray of hope. I like to be the guy that's enthusiastic. I know I call it like I see it. I know that, but I like to be the guy that's enthusiastic and I just break it down to you and give it to you straight, but letting you know that still there's light at the end of the tunnel. I see nothing but darkness in New York. I see nothing but misery. And you know what? We in October. That means Thanksgiving is just a month away. That means Christmas is just 2 months away. These people are going to ruin our holidays in New York. They're going to ruin our holidays. I mean, this is just bad. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. This 888-623-3646. That is the number to call in to the Stephen A. Smith Show. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Plus, let's not forget that if you don't want to stay on the line and you want to just send in a voicemail message, you can go to SiriusXM.com/get serious. That's SiriusXM.com/get serious. Remember I brought up college football? Well, there was a reason for that. In college football, number 7 Penn State and number 9 Texas fell in the rankings after surprising losses. In the NFL, the Broncos mounted a fourth quarter comeback to hand the Eagles their first loss. And in fantasy, Rico Dowdle and Jonathan Taylor led fantasy managers to week 5 victories. We are talking football right now on NFL Radio Channel 88 and Mad Dog Sports Radio Channel 82. College Sports Radio has college football covered on Channel 84. And Fantasy Football Talk is on Fantasy Sports Radio Channel 87. Or listen on the SiriusXM app. Your calls and more in a minute. I got some stuff off my chest. I imagine it's nothing compared to what y'all want to get off y'all chest. I'm here for it, and I don't blame you one bit. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show. SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls and more in a minute.